Okay, good morning, Jess. Hi. I know you may not see this, and that's okay. I definitely need to document it for myself. I have to go through an exploratory dialogue. So, if you want to listen to this, and if not, don't worry about it. So, one of the huge epiphanies that I had during my work was X. And I don't have a name for X, which is why I needed to do an exploratory dialogue to figure out what to call this. This is the progression, I want to call it. A progression metric. I'm going to write that down. A progression, progression metric. Yeah, I definitely want to call it a progression metric. So, but it's not, no, I'm not done naming this. Progression metric of the Usia journey. We'll call it the Usia. Let me just take a look at this one more time. So it's the progression metric of the Usia journey, the Usia journey progression metric. Okay, so that works. So one of the things that I love naming, because naming is one of those things where you oh, it makes it formal. Like you can't continue into the world of study if you don't have an actual name for it. So it's part of the identification process, which is stage three and four, specifically stage four of the scientific Ashavana scientific method process. Intuition stage four is identification. So it begins the Ashavana scientific method has it begins with four parts of intuition. First you feel it, and that is your intuitive mathematical intuition or your logical intuition. And then you have your imagery. That is when you can see it in what I call your abstract imagery. It's when you can see the abstract imagery. The next thing is the summary or the ability to explain it. It's the first time you actually can talk about it. So everything in the first two intuition stages, I call that the intuition paradox, because it is not possible. This is vital to human development and growth. It is not possible to articulate, talk about, or introduce anything in the first two stages of intuition. It is not possible. No human can do it. Now, when you get to the third stage of intuition, that's when you finally can summarize. Now you can start to detail and define it. And what you're doing in this stage, this is pure linguistical studies. You must have linguistics. And how well you do stage three is going to be in direct ratio to your knowledge in logic, definition, etymology, vocabulary, and linguistics. So if you have not studied these areas of expertise, then you are really going to struggle with intuition stage three. So furthermore, I noticed that once you reach mastery level of the Ashavana scientific method, which is in itself a discipline, I realized that when you get to the third ethical stage, you can almost bypass the third stage completely. Not that you bypass it, but you can tackle it so quickly. And I want to show you how is because I've mastered the Ashavana scientific method, I was able to finally say, okay, we're going to call it the progression metric of the Usia journey. So that's five words. Now, technically, what I just gave you was stage four of the Ashavana scientific method, which was the title, which is the summary or the naming of everything that you do in the third stage. So the question now is, am I so succinct or am I so skilled now that I'm able to bypass the third intuition stage? Much, much more data is required. I'm not going to throw conjecture out there. We need more data. So that being said, we get into the fourth stage. And then you take your descriptive terminology and you summarize it into a title. Now, this is the naming or the definition. Now it's official. Scientific study can now begin. I wouldn't say study, I would say analysis and dissection now begins, which I guess is study. And then the next stage is logical a priori evidence. This is where you build a logical code. And then the next stage is mathematics, finding the math to put it all together. Now, one of the things that I'm really huge on is something that I mentioned yesterday. I'm not going to try and repeat it because I came up with a beautiful term for it. And it is easily one of the most beautiful things of all of this. It's natural, it's consequential physics, basically. All physics is consequential. But let me just pull this up here, because what I did here blew my mind away with this terminology. And it is right here. I wrote this. My Ashavana scientific method also implements nature's checks and balances systems, which means if you're wrong, then physics doesn't happen. These criteria are required in all of my data and research. I require, and here it is, nature's automated catalyst response check. So that is it right there, which is when physics produces the natural phenomenon that is natural integrated force. You experience this just before an epiphany in your head. It's epiphany science. This means if you're wrong, then physics doesn't happen. 100% of everything I say, do, and write is confirmed with nature's automated catalyst response check. The physics checks out. So what this natural integrated force is, Dr. Dan and I were talking about this extensively one day, and I had asked him if he experienced it, and he confirmed yes, but it's never been studied. The natural integrated force is nature's automated catalyst response check. Now, when I was studying my Ashavana scientific method, I noticed that this was the key component that divides each and every stage in the Ashavana scientific method. It does not at all exist in traditional scientific method. It is very unique and exclusive only to the Ashavana scientific method. In that, when you complete one of the stages, when it is correct, only when it is correct, you'll know it's correct because you trigger the nature's automated catalyst response check with natural integrated force. And it feels like magnetism. It is identical to magnetism. In fact, it's because of this that I hypothesize magnetism and force are the same thing. That's a whole nother topic, shelved for later, need more data, but we need to open that door and dig around in it. That being said, I felt this magnetism, that natural integrated force, every single time I completed one of these stages. So I will keep working on something until it feels like I'm working on a Rubik's Cube. Every Ashavana scientific method stage feels like I have to solve a different Rubik's Cube equation. So I start with the first stage and go into the second. Every time I complete a Rubik's Cube, quote unquote, you lock it into that perfect equation, and then boom, the integrated natural physics takes over and it just swoops right together. Exactly like if you were to take a magnet and you just very slowly inch it towards a pile of metal and then it just right into it. It feels exactly like that. So I started to track this and I noticed that it only occurs when 100% of everything is correct. So after I have the naming and the summation down, then the logic starts. Once the logic is perfect, shoop, the math shows up. So I don't find math. I never find anything. I use this natural magnetism to draw it to me. I use that as my checkpoint to make sure, is it accurate? Because if it is true, then it will activate the natural integrated force response. So I do this with logic, and then it pulls together, it integrates together, and then the math is delivered by nature. Now, the first few times I did this is up to approximately the 12th ethical perspective first round. It was between the 10th and 12th. I noticed this was strictly only happening with logic, math, and physics. Logic, math, and physics, every single time. You go through one ethical stage, you get the logic in. You go through the next one, you get the math in. You go through the next one, you get the physics in. But then there was this one day, I got the chemistry in, where that integrated force occurred, and then the chemistry showed up. And I went, whoa. Now, chemistry is unique, very separate from the other sciences, in that you can't work in chemistry without having a substantial background in logic, math, and physics, because the chemistry will not work. Now, you can easily say the same thing with physics. But that's exactly what a prerequisite is. Now, that being said, there was one day, the very first time this happened, where the chemistry just integrated together with that force And then the biology kicked in and just came to me, and that integrated. Now, that is what I refer to as Mother Nature's checks and balances. If Mother Nature shows you the biology, now you're not getting to that point unless you have flawless logic, flawless math, flawless physics, flawless chemistry, and then the biology shows up. So I'm going, you know what? Screw science, screw scientists, screw their standards. When Mother Nature, well, when I deliver the biology in this manner, boom, it's there. I'm looking at it going, yeah, she says it's fine. It's good. So this was my very early stages. This was like 2 years ago when I started to track this. And I use that as my metric for, you know, it's good when Mother Nature shows you the biology. So that all being said, is when I'm looking at this 57 word summary that I have, that progression metric of the USEA journey, and this is really what it comes down to, is this progression metric of the USEA journey is governed by this nature's automated catalyst response check. So that I noticed, and it's 100%, I don't have the word here, it's for the USEA journey. But it's not just the USEA journey, it's the life formula. All of the life formula follows this formula. It would be the 12 ethical perspective stages of human growth and development, or the compression dialectical learning. So I'll call it that here. And I noticed that as you go through the accordion process, the mathematical process, there is a rhythm, and the rhythm is so predictable that I figured it out around the eighth ethic, and then I tracked it up through to and through the 144th ethic, and the math formula checks out every time, where it is a spiraling helix sensation counterclockwise. I've got all the math and all that jazz. It's on my website. The point is, it's at a point now where I have this clocked so predictably, and this is the highlight of this whole message, right here's the point of it, that when I get down to the summary stages, like 57 words, I now can measure how far away from Plato's point I am via dimensions or degrees. So at the 57 words away from Plato's point, I've done this so many times now, I'm going, oh yeah, I know exactly what's coming next. I'm going to summarize it once more, and that's going to literally take the 57 words and cut it down to approximately 25 words. And then, yeah, that's right, it's literally 50. It's literally 50 words, or 50%. It's a 50% formula. And after that, it's going to be down to approximately... it's going to be down to approximately 12 words, which is going to be the elevator pitch. So when I see my word count getting down to, I can summarize all of my work down to 57 words, that tells me precisely now where I am, 3 degrees out from Plato's point. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. I noticed a trend that over the last 10 times that I've been able to track this using my math formula, I realized that it was consistent. It was consistent. Pure consistency. I can't yet predict how far away I am if I'm at the fourth degree or the fifth degree away from Plato's point. But if I'm at the third degree away from Plato's point every time, that's when I notice it, every single time. So this allows us to, when we are journeying through story, this is literally what it's like living scientifically inside of story, where you finally get to that point and you can see that integration getting closer and closer, and it's that 50-point increment. So I could take easily that 50% increment, knowing it's 57 words now, and calculate, okay, the next one is going to be approximately 30, less than 30, probably 25. The next one after that is probably going to be approximately 12. And there it is, right there it is, 12 to 24 to 48. So I can I know that doesn't come out to 57, but I can play with it a little bit and see precisely what the math would come out to. I would not be surprised if it's 12, but it's probably like my whole body is screaming, it's 12, you know, it's 12, you know, it's gonna be 12 because everything revolves around 12. Yes. So The thing is, and this is where, let's take all of the uber awesome science that I just talked about, set that aside. When we do marketing and messaging and pitches for a business, it is not possible to accurately, ethically, and efficiently pitch or do a marketing message until you have reached Plato's point. It's not possible. It's literally the last stage. And what was amazing was there are so many different progressions, these ethical, it's not even ethical progression at this point. It's literally evolutionary development inside of each and every one of these stages. So that there's groupings. Like I counted up to five, which tells me it's accurate, five data points, five different mathematical groupings of Titan integrations. That's what I called it today. Five Titan integrations. And the five Titan integrations allowed me this beautiful arc over the entire Usia journey of the 144 ethics. And then inside of that, I could see, of course, the 144 stages where I repeated this pattern. So I could see that I was repeating it at 144 times. I could see that I was doing 12 rounds of 12 ethics. Now, this is where the math here gets very exciting. This is where the math, just mathematicians are going to go nuts over this. So you're looking at 12 rounds of 12 ethics at 144 ethics. Every one of these ethics is following this pattern, Fibonacci sequence. In addition to that, you have five overarching, the Titan integrations that are occurring over the entire 144, the 144 ethics. So five is encompassing. Now, when you look at the scalar perspective, if I've got five here and I've got 144 in there, I can tell you right now, based off of math, the patterns that are always consistent with everything here, what's going to then happen is it's going to integrate down into a five and then a three and then a one. So there's going to be three more umbrellas arcing over that. And now I can tell you right now, I know exactly what that is. So it means that I'm going to have to redo the Usia journey, the 104 ethical journey, literally three more times. Well, two more times. And then it's going to integrate into a fourth time, and that's going to become the one. So that's going to give me a third, three more overarching integrated. So beyond that five Titan integrations, there's going to be three Titan integrations. And then there's going to be the integration of all of it into the one. So now we have a mathematical map. This is abstract cartography now, where I can actually see, based upon the scalar math, precisely where it is we're going. So this is fascinating. Here's the other thing is, I'm not done yet, because I can see I got 144 ethics, and then I have five. Now that I can tell you right now, that's a gap. There should be a seven in there. So I'm going, okay, so I'm missing a seven, because that's the way the math goes. It's always 12, seven, five. And then you integrate those together into a three and then one. Always, always, always. So I have to find the seventh integration that's missing. But the fact that I've got the 144, 12 rounds of 12, there's going to be a seven, then there's the five, and then there's going to be the three, and then the one, and that's full integration. So at full integration, well, we shall see. We shall see. I don't want to hypothesize. I would rather stay in observation mode and just go, what's going to happen next? But now I can map and track this, because now I have the entire mathematical formula of the 144 ethics. So I can see precisely what the mathematics is going to come down to, and where literally it gives us a very clear milestone destination point. And the other thing that just came to me, this was a few weeks ago, was maybe 2 weeks ago, I noticed that this is very exciting. I noticed that I had started the rounds of ethics over again, but they were like, I noticed I was at the seventh ethical perspective. So the tracking it is very different now, and I'm not going to be tracking it like I did the other ones. It's not possible, because they just go, they're so subtle now. They're so deeply integrated that you can only find the first and the seventh ethic. And there it is. You can only see the first and the seventh. So I was able to notice the seventh, and then I'll be able to notice the first. I'll then notice the first and the seventh, and then that will integrate. And then I'll only notice like the first ethic. So there again, you can see that decreasing down into Plato's point again on a scalar. So we're not just melodically, now this is where you need to know music theory to understand what I'm saying. We're not just moving along that X line, that X axis of melodic scale. We're also doing this on an harmonic scale. Now that I was not counting on. That blew me. This is the surprise. This is the mind blowing. Holy shit, this is exciting, because we're not just integrating on a melodic scale, we are also integrating on a harmonic scale as well. Now, of course, because Mother Nature, I am so complete that it's going to have all three parts. So it's not just going to be Y axis, X axis, axis. We're also going to have the Q axis. So now I get to sit there and watch the Q axis unfold while all of this goes on and track it. It's all just very, very exciting to witness. So that's really all I had to say. It's a lot. And it's just very, very exciting. So thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.